Hi, I'm Emily Brailsford from the Willow Project, and today we've got with us Vicky from Crossroads. Hi, Vicky.
Hi, Emily.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Are you enjoying the nice weather?
I am, yes.
I wish we were a little bit more out of lockdown so we could get out there a little bit more, but
Yeah.
never mind, it'll not be long. So, Vicky is the CEO at Crossroads, and she's here today to talk about the services Crossroads offer and various different things like that. So, first of all, Vicky, what made you get into doing this line of work?
Well, I've worked in the charity sector all my working life. After leaving university, I was just really keen to get involved in something more interesting than some of the temp jobs I've been doing. So, looking to do something that helped people, and I got into fundraising initially for a children's charity and worked there for quite a long time. And then, when I saw this job advertised locally, I jumped at it. I had volunteered for the charity previously and done some bid writing for them. I knew it was local, I knew that they did an amazing thing in the local area. So, when I saw the job, I applied and was fortunate enough to get it.
That was really lovely that you got the job. You obviously enjoy doing it. How long have you been there now?
So, it's been 6 years next month since I joined Crossroads. So, I came in as a business officer to help sort out the financial situation, do some fundraising, and deputy manager as well. And then when the previous CEO, Pam, moved on to another challenge, I took the job. So I've been in a CEO role coming up to 12 months, just a week off 12 months.
Oh, wow.
Came into the post during the pandemic, so that was a challenge. But yeah, it's been going well, and I can't believe it's been a year. It's flown by.
Yes, I've been a year doing the Willow Projects as well, and it has flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, what services does Crossroads offer for people?
So we offer a combination of either refuge accommodation or community support. So we commissioned by Derbyshire to deliver outreach services for adults and children across the High Peak and the Derbyshire Dales as part of a consortium with the Elm Foundation and Derbyshire Wish. So our role within that consortium and as part of the commission service is to support any adult, women or men, in the community, either still living in an abusive relationship and looking for support to move on, or having left and looking for support to recover and move on with their lives. We also support children from across those areas and also the children who live in the commissioned accommodation services provided by Derbyshire Wish.
I know you've spoken to me previously about counselling. So what sort of the therapies is out there?
So, as well as our practical and emotional support from our outreach workers, we also do offer a counselling service for any clients that have been through the service, and that is open-ended. We provide counselling for any adult currently who has experienced abuse, and that's done on a weekly basis, currently being delivered by phone or online. Usually it's face-to-face. We're also piloting some counselling work with children, and we're hoping that in the future we'll be able to open that out to more children, to provide specialist counselling for children who've experienced domestic abuse in the home. So, yeah, so that's our main commission service. And then on top of that, we also offer recovery programs such as the Freedom Program, and that's a 12-week recovery course. Again, it's currently running online, but we hope to take it back to in-person groups at some point in the future. It's worked really well online, though, and actually, people have got an awful lot out of it. So, we're really pleased with that as a new way of delivering that support. In terms of our outreach services for adults, we provide support around a huge host of issues that might have arisen because of abuse. So, that could be immediate safety, reporting to police, going through the court process. We offer support around housing, around benefits and finance and debt, any other kind of legal issues around criminal, civil, or family court. Often, one of the longer-term consequences of abuse is that abusers will still use family court to perpetuate that abuse. So, some of the other things we might offer support around might include parenting, supporting people through the social care process where there are concerns around the children's safety. We offer support around things like mental and physical health, signposting to other services, drug and alcohol services, immigration, or anyone with insecure immigration status. Just a huge host of things, really, and it's just sky's the limit because abuse has so many ramifications for so many areas of life that it's just really on a needs basis. We'll just respond to what that client's priorities are. And yeah, and as I say, it can be a whole host of things. It could be relocating and finding new school places. We have a real we have a specific fund for people who've had to move their children into new schools to make sure that they've got new appropriate school uniform, because it's something that families can't always do when they've got lots of children suddenly starting new schools. So yeah, so all sorts of things really that we support the families around in the community.
Wow. I mean, I thought I knew what you did, but you do so much more than I thought. That's really amazing. So just tell me a bit more about your refuge service.
Yeah, so Crossroads offers a specialist refuge for young women aged 16 to 24 called the Harmony Project. It was the first refuge in the country to specialise in that specific age group, because our trustees and our staff at the time back in 2012 recognised that it was an age group that wasn't really thriving in generic age refuges. So what we were finding was that a lot of younger people, when moving into refuge with older women, sometimes with children nearly as old as them, were really struggling and weren't engaging and weren't staying. So we opened a specialist refuge called the Harmony Project back in 2013. And it's just absolutely gone from strength to strength. As I say, it was the first in the country to identify the need for that age group, but it's no longer the only one. There's been three more set up with our support around the country, one in Birmingham, one in Leicestershire, and one in Kent. So we really know that the model works. It is slightly different to a normal refuge. We need round the clock staffing, because sometimes we have under 18s in the project. There's a really high level of child protection needs among that age group. Yeah. We see a lot of care leavers. We see people coming to us who've fled either partners or forced marriage or gang related violence or family abuse. So it is very high needs, very complex client group, but we see some amazing outcomes. We really do. It's a really friendly project. We did a huge amount of work about 2 or 3 years ago to have the building refurbished, and the young women took a real part in designing the new decorations and made sure it was friendly for the young people and the children that we have in there. So often babies and toddlers because of the age group of the women. So that's been amazing. And we also have set up 4 separate standalone move-on properties for when young women are ready to move on to their own tenancies, but maybe haven't ever managed their own home before, might need a bit of support around that. And the other thing that's been really helpful is that we're able to support women with no recourse to public funds or insecure immigration. So we've supported young women through the asylum process in that project. We've supported young women to attend university. We've even had people sit in their GCSEs while they've been at the refuge. It's a lovely project and a real sort of bonus within Derbyshire that the young women of that age group have got somewhere to go. We do a huge amount of work around parenting. So we often have young women come to us pregnant at real risk of losing their baby, and we've worked with them to have a real understanding of why there are concerns. Sometimes they don't even understand why that abuse is considered to be a concern for their baby, because they might have grown up in families like that themselves.
Similar situation.
Yeah, and yeah, really, it's just really, we do a lot of work around identifying why domestic abuse is a risk to the baby and what they can do to protect their baby. And we have seen some fantastic outcomes where young women have moved on with their children and are really thriving in the local area. So that's been great.
Oh, that's amazing. Again, yet another thing I didn't realise you did. Just that sounds such an amazing project. I think I want to come and work for you now.
Well, I was going to say, when lockdown eases, please come and visit us, because we've both been in post through a pandemic and we haven't actually managed to
meet each other. No.
So come and have a brew in High Peak.
Oh, I will do.
The other project just to talk about as well that we're really excited about, and this is a project being led by the Elm Foundation with us and Wish as consortium partners, is a new piece of work funded by the National Lottery, and we're calling it Making Positive Choices. And that is going to be targeting young people, secondary school age, who are at risk of entering unhealthy relationships. Now, that might be that they're at risk of abuse. It might be more that they're at risk of perpetrating abuse against others. So we will include things like where there's violence against a parent or a sibling in the home, and also when there's some unhealthy behaviours with partners or among friendship groups. So that's going to be respect accredited training. I'm going to be launching next month, and we're really excited about that.
That sounds fantastic.
There's such a lot of need among that age group, I think, and we're already being inundated with inquiries. So we're looking forward to that rolling out.
That sounds great. So how do you think we need to move forward as a country, really, in helping victims?
I think there's been some positive moves, and the new DVA bill is just going through now with some really positive elements to it. I'm really pleased to see that children are going to be recognised as victims in their own right.
Yeah.
That's a huge step forward. I think children have been the forgotten victims of domestic abuse for a really long time. There are some gaps in the bill. I think there's still more to be done around migrant women and those without recourse to public funds. So there's always more to be done, and we still don't know quite what is going to be attached to the bill in terms of funding. And that's huge issue across the whole sector, is that while there has been some positive moves around funding, it's all very short term. It's very difficult to plan as an organisation. 12 months goes by in the blink of an eye, as we've said.
Absolutely.
And the short term funding just is very inefficient. It means that, you know, we spend more money setting things up and winding them down than we do delivering them what we know works. So I think more faith in the sector, more belief that we know what we're doing and that we are doing things for the right reasons, and that the funding doesn't need to keep being pulled and reassessed and everything, is would really help us to deliver better services for victims. I think it's positive that we're getting a perpetrator programme in Derbyshire, the DRIVE programme.
Yes, that's great news.
Not really good news. So yeah, as I say, as always, insecure funding is a big problem that has an impact on victims of abuse. But also, I think there's been a lot of positive moves around developing links within Derbyshire between social care, police, the frontline services like ourselves, health. And I think there's a lot more to be done in that area. I think that we still occasionally come across pockets where we're not understanding the issues victims are facing, and look, thankfully it's in the minority, but we don't like to see it at all, really. So more work to be done in that area. So yeah, there's always more to be done.
there is. Now, I know you've talked about the recent changes to the law, but in an ideal world, if you had a magic wand, what changes to the law would you like to see?
I'd certainly like to see quite a few changes to the current court processes. I think there's some real issues, and the pandemic has magnified them, but they were there before anyway. You know, we still have victims feeling very intimidated, struggling to get legal aid, representing themselves. You know, it's not appropriate. As I say, a lot of domestic abuse and sexual abuse, I think it's even more of an issue where crimes are not actioned and not taken forward, you know, so, and it really undermines the victim. It really makes them feel like they're not being believed. So I think, yeah, certainly some investment in the court processes and in both family and criminal courts as well, really, just to send out that message that if you do report, you'll be believed. It will be actioned. It'll be actioned within a year, not 2 to 3 years, which we're sometimes hearing at the moment. Yeah, huge amount to be done on that side of things. And I think, as I say, the pandemic has really magnified the problems.
All this.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll get the magic wand and we'll be able to make those changes.
Yeah.
So thank you today, Vicky, for coming along and talking to the Willow Project podcast. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to you again in the future. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me. This has been great.